Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where I coach owners of cleaning companies every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on anything and everything related to building and growing cleaning companies. If that's you and you are committed to growing your cleaning company, go to growmycleaningcompany.com where you'll find all the resources you need to create the cleaning company you have always wanted. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com or give us a ring, 480-648-5149 to apply to be on the show, ask a question, give some feedback. We are excited to hear from you, Cleaning Nation. That said, today we are chatting with James Pollard from the Clean Thumb LLC. Clean Thumb serves the Delaware area with both commercial and residential cleaning services. If you want to reach out to James and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.thecleanthumb.com. James, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. I am so happy to be on the show. I'm a regular listener. I'm happy to be here.
Beautiful. Glad to have you, my friend. Before we jump into all the coaching nonsense, tell us a little bit about how you got into the cleaning business, how you found Cleaning Nation. Give us a little bit of background, if you would.
Well, I'm a big fan of cleaning, obviously, and I'm a big fan of self-development, personal development. It's kind of weird to see the two combined, but you need to combine the two. I've been cleaning for many years. I actually incorporated the company last September. Have never looked back. I've actually studied a lot of different cleaning resources from, you know, other ebooks, other sites, or the blogs, and definitely Cleaning Nation definitely helped me out a lot. I noticed that, you know, I know you talk a lot about the E-Myth, Mike, and it's a great book, and it really clicked with me in September, or actually in August of last year, where I needed to take a business and work on it and not in it. And I'm basically doing management and marketing, and I do a couple owner-operated stuff, but definitely clicked with me that I needed to build an actual business, not work in it.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I'm glad that you found your way onto our little show, and I'm excited to be able to contribute any way I can. What's going on in your world today? How can I best serve you today?
Well, I would like to talk about direct mail, if you can, both on commercial and residential. If you'd like, I'd like to focus on commercial because I've had a lot of success with commercial direct mail, meaning old school sales letters, handwritten, just a white envelope with, you know, handwrite the address, handwrite the return address and put a live stamp on it. Had a lot of success with that. Just wanted to see if there's anything that you can offer that helped improve my conversion rate, maybe a follow-up process, how to keep a direct mail sales funnel going in the commercial space.
All right. I am happy to share that. And I love this topic. And we are just about on 100 episodes, and I don't know that anyone else has ever asked that. If they have, and maybe they have, and I've forgotten, my apologies if that's the case, but that's such a powerful marketing tool. It's kind of a bummer that more people have, and again, I try to help people where they're at, so I don't try to, you know, I don't say bully, but push them into feedback that they're not looking for. But long story short, I have been waiting for someone to ask a good question like that, and am very excited to share some stuff that will hopefully help you, James, get better, as well as Cleaning Nation, you know, maybe if you're just getting started, give you at least enough to get you going. So, first and foremost, and the good thing is you'd mentioned if I could focus on commercial over residential. Some of the things we do in the cleaning business kind of are very different in those spaces, and some are very similar. The good thing with direct mail is 90% or 100% of the concepts are going to be the same, and 90% of the execution is going to be the same. So I'll be able to speak to both. Most of the stuff I'm going to share works both ways, and if it doesn't, I'll make sure I highlight the commercial route so you can get what you need, my friend. First and foremost, I think probably the biggest overlooked piece in direct mail is the list. I think you'd mentioned before we started every door direct mail from the post office where they give you a really good rate, a really compelling rate if you'll just send to everybody in a certain zip code or a certain designated area. It's cheaper per each, but you got to go to everybody. I'm not against that per se, because I think there's opportunity there. But I will say, if you send to the wrong list, nothing else we're going to talk about makes any difference. If I am sending a solution to your commercial office space being shabby and turning away customers and employees taking more days off because of sick leave, because your place isn't maintained well, and I'm sending that to a mother of three, I'm going to get zero response. if I'm sending that to, I'm trying to think. There's just a lot of places that if I send that to, it's not going to work. So first and foremost, you've got to have a good list. You can't invest too much in making sure that your list is tight. So that's first and foremost. And I don't want to beat it over the head, but I don't want to gloss over it either and have people go, yeah, I get it, list. Honest to God, the other things I'm telling you about are going to help if you've got a good list, but they will do zero if the list is wrong. So that is such a big foundation. If you can't have the list right, you don't waste your money in direct mail. You'll be one of those people go, I tried direct mail, it's too expensive, didn't work. Bad list. And the only way to have a good list is to have to know your niche. I pound the niche drum over and over and over and over again. And this is why. If you say, well, I serve residential and commercial and a little of this and a little of that, you're kind of stuck in every door direct mail, which for businesses I definitely do not like, right? Because now if you're doing every door direct mail, just businesses, you're not going to speak to the pastor of a church who's hiring someone to clean the same way you're going to speak to the owner of a property manager or an owner of this or an owner of that or a facilities manager, any of that different stuff. So I would much, much prefer to have a tight list that I can speak to, right? Because if I'm just sending to a breathing human being, my message has to be very generic. But if I'm speaking to a pastor of a church of between 500 and 2,000 attendees that's got one part-time help that doesn't pay much, but he needs someone, and I'm getting real specific, but that message can be extremely powerful. If I'm speaking to dear business owner, real hard to get a good message. So all the other stuff I'm gonna hit on flows from having a good list. No list, nothing else works. Any questions or thoughts on that, James, before we move forward?
No, that's some excellent feedback. And I got to tell you, the best sales letter that I've had with doctor's offices and dental offices right now, the headline is, bam, big bold text, 77% of patients will never return to a healthcare facility if the restrooms are not clean. Can your restroom pass the patient check? And it's so personalized. It's direct to that office. It definitely works a lot better than just a generic, is your office clean?
Yes.
You know, and that's great advice. It's great feedback. I am definitely keeping an eye on that. I try to keep the list as tight as possible.
You're speaking to their pain, not what you're trying to sell. Yep. That's the second mistake. Well, let's move right into the second piece, which is message. So many people want to talk about cleaning toilets or themselves or the awards that they've won or how their employees are better looking than the other employee or whatever the nonsense they're talking about. Do you notice James' headline had nothing to do with what James sells? Not a blessed thing, because let me give you a big spoiler alert. Doctors are not interested in cleaning services at all. You know what they're interested in? Patients returning, patients getting upset. Exactly what James talked about in his headline. So A, kudos on that. The message, and I'm going to go right into that, which you've already kind of nailed, at least with your headline. The message has got to be pertinent to what it is. And just like we talked about with the list, that headline, as solid as it is, if you send it to me at my home, it's going to go right in the trash. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want a patient. It's insane. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have the good list so you can get the message. The message is key, and we kind of hit it. And James, you did such a good job summing it up with your example of the headline. And everyone that's not in James is there, for crying out loud, James said it works. Steal the headline for, you know, let's do it works, people.
Yeah, Tommy. I haven't figured one out for churches. I haven't really I guess I figured one out for apartment turnovers and whatnot. But churches, that's a tough nut to crack for me. Other buildings, car dealerships, stuff like that. But I tend to specialize in medical offices. They're great people, wonderful people to work with, but you're definitely right that the doctors do not want to deal with cleaning companies, and they could care less. They just want the job done and want it done right.
Yeah, and so many people want to spend time trying to argue them into caring, which is insane. Just find out what they do care about, and let's talk about that, as opposed to trying to browbeat someone into, you'll listen to me and my way and that. So message, and that, you know, we don't even have to spend that much time on message, because I want to make sure I get all the points in. All that you need to know on the message is, if it's compelling to the person that's reading it, it's good. If it's not, it's not. And the way that you know it's compelling is you have conversations about what their pain is. So on your churches, you're like, I haven't been able to hit that yet. The best way is to go have conversation with whoever the decision maker is, the size church that you're looking for, which is either going to be a pastor or facilities manager, and record it if they'll allow you. And just talk. Don't say word one about cleaning, but talk to them about their facility and the management of the facility and the value of the facility and what keeps them up at night and makes them insane and what makes them happy and what gets them out of bed at night. Or out of bed in the morning to do the job, the work that they do, and you record a 30-minute conversation with two or three or four pastors or facilities managers at a church, and you ask these kinds of questions, and you be quiet and listen, I promise a headline or two or nine will be in those recordings. So that's kind of the feedback on that. So the message, we could talk about this forever. Copywriting is a tale on its own. If you want to really learn into the craft of copywriting, Dan Kennedy is probably one of my favorites. There's a dozen, but that's a good place to start. Let's move on to the call to action. So many people miss this. They do a bad list and send to the wrong people. They talk about themselves. And if you do that, it doesn't matter what your call of action is. They're not listening. But if you've got the right list and the right message, the call to action has got to be clear and strong. You can't assume people are going to know what to do. A lot of times you do all this stuff and then you go, okay, goodbye. You know, whether it's a postcard or a long form sales letter, whatever you're doing, it's not clear what you want them to do. So make sure you're very specific on one call to action. Don't do the, well, email us or give us a call or stop by or send us a carrier pigeon if you like. That's confusing. And people go, I'll do, you know, I'm going to set this to the side. I'll come back to them. And then it's gone. So it needs to be right now before you live in this, you know, fill in the pain blank that you should have been talking about on the whole direct mail piece. Call now. Fill out this form now. Have a little tab that they can literally write in and send back with pre-done postage. I don't care what you do, but one call to action, make it very, very clear and make it laden with benefits of why they should do it right now. Because if they set it down to do it later, it's over. So if it's, you want to make sure they understand exactly what you want them to do, exactly how it's going to benefit them and why they need to do it this very instant, not later. Those are kind of the key pieces to the call to action. And really, you don't need if you've got the right list and your message is strong, you could get away with an average call to action as long as it's clear what you want them to do. No matter how good your message is and your list is, if your call to action is murky or muddy or they get confused, that's the favorite thing of a confused person to do is not a blessed thing. So just be super clear. I've got a couple more things. I don't want to run long. Do you have any questions or thoughts before we move on, James?
Yeah, well, that's great. That's great feedback as well. Yeah, I guess the thing is my call to action is kind of average right now. It's just please pick up the phone and call me today. What I'm going to do, because you really made me think about it, I'm probably going to change the doctor letter to give me a call right now before you lose another patient. How does that sound?
I like that better. I want to know. I still want more benefit because if I'm a doctor and I hear call me right now, I think that might, again, I would at least test it. And that's the next thing I'm going to talk about. I actually make a little note here.
Okay.
I would at least test it. But what I'd like to see tested is that's a big jump. Even if you've got a really solid sales letter and they're in pain and your timing's right, you can go right from postcard/long form sales letter to call for an appointment. But that's, you're going to miss some. There's a percentage in there that is in pain, that are getting your message, but calling for appointments sounds suspiciously like send a salesperson out here and make my life miserable for a half hour and I'm not interested. So I would at least test a two-step letter where it's email now or mail now for your free booklet, pamphlet, information, book on how to make your medical practice run more smoothly or be more profitable, whatever their main pain is. So instead of, because that's a lot more innocuous. I don't have to talk to a human who might, I don't know, I'm just a doctor and I feel like I'm too busy and maybe I am too busy. I can't talk to this guy. And as soon as I call, I'm out of control of the process because he's going to want more time. And that's what I don't want. So let me request this booklet or this checklist or this something of value. I'm willing to do that. It doesn't take as much time. And then what you can do is now you can really invest a lot of money on those people. So the people that request that extra bit of information, you can really put together a funnel or a system of emailing, sending gifts, calling, whatever you want to do, because they've raised their hand. I think that'll increase your response rate over giving a call. So I'd at least test it. Is it helpful?
Yes, definitely. I haven't been doing as much testing. I do test my letters, but I don't have such a strong grip on metrics as I know I should have. And I have another business that has a sales funnel, and I know all that, but I guess I feel kind of silly not doing the same thing with a cleaning business. I don't know where I lost my way, but that's definitely great feedback.
Well, funny enough, a lot of what I get paid for is to remind people of what they already know. So it's there's no shame in going, you know what? I knew that, but I'm not doing it. I know if I worked out more and ate less, I would lose weight. And yet here I am, chubby as can be. So, yeah, a lot of it's about knowing, not just knowing what to do, but doing what you know. All right. That said, a couple other quick things. There's so much in here and I want to get it in. A couple of the quick things, which I think you're doing, but I want to make sure Cleaning Nation gets, as good of a sales letter is, I'll take three average sales letters sent over the span of 4 to 6 weeks over one amazing sales letter. Especially, and that's the nice thing with commercial cleaning. If you got a doctor's office, average ticket might be $1,500 a month or something. You can invest some money to get a client. So I really like email sequences, as opposed to one email. You can, a lot of times, if you're doing a good job, you can get, you know, 1 or 2% response rate every time you mail, but the accumulation, the synergy of mailing three at a time, as opposed to one and then waiting 6 months or switching lists or whatever. So always have a sequence when the budget allows. If you can put lumpy mail where there's something in there that arises some curiosity, that's helpful. I love what you said about packaging, in terms of a plain white envelope, handwritten, live stamp. These are the things that get opened. If you think about yourself, you picture yourself with your mail, you're probably standing over the trash can with this big mail and you're instantly split second, trash, 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 not junk mail, bill. You know, that's what you're doing. And a plain white envelope with a handwritten address and a live stamp, open rate's got to be well north of 90% on those. When's the last time you got one of those and didn't open it? Probably never. When's the last time you got a postcard or something else and threw it in the trash? Probably the last 237 times you got something. So make sure the packaging's good. We don't even have time to get into split testing. We talked a little bit about it, but really, if I could say two things to make sure your direct mail campaign works, get a list that's responsive and split test. If you do those two things, you eventually will win the direct mail game. All right. Any other questions or thoughts before we hit the lightning round, James?
No other questions.
All right, man, it's such a good topic. This is one I'd love to maybe do a 2 or 3 part because it's I didn't really do it justice, but that's enough to at least get you in trouble, Cleaning Nation. All right, let's hit the lightning round. Three quick questions. We're going to get three amazing answers from James. I'm really impressed already by what you're doing, so I'm interested to hear your answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I've ever received is to wake up and realize that you are responsible for your own life and your decisions that you make, and everything that you're experiencing is a cumulative effect of all the decisions that you've made in the past.
Taking charge for your own life. Who would have thunk it? Fantastic feedback.
Yep.
Question two, what's the biggest mistake you made in the cleaning business that maybe we can learn from?
Oh, you know, I was thinking about this all day today. I was thinking about, well, how am I going to answer this question? I think the biggest mistake I made was not understanding my customer acquisition cost, because I come from a deep marketing background. I love marketing and business. Not truly understanding the customer acquisition cost. I tried lead generation services. I tried other marketing systems. I tried a lot of different things. And for residential, at the very first, you know, month or two, my customer acquisition cost was just, it was way too high. But with commercial and direct mail, the customer acquisition cost, like you explained, you know, $1,500 account, the customer acquisition cost is spot on and I can work with it. My biggest mistake was trying to pick up, you know, $150 or $200 clients when my acquisition cost was $60, $70. And it just doesn't work. The math does not work.
Well, and gosh, let me, first of all, yes, I agree 1,000% on when you've got a $1,500 a month client, a whole different universe of marketing and client attraction systems opens up over $200 a month a client. But I would vehemently disagree. Say you pick up a $200 a month client for $60-$70, let's call it $100. I think that's a win every time. And if we're competing head to head in the market, I'm going to crush you because I'll spend $100 to get that customer.
Just a one time thing.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah. No. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
I'm talking about it.
Yes. Yeah. So Cleaning Nation, most of you guys are doing monthly accounts. So yeah, please strike that from the record. For spending $70 to pick up a $150 client one time, insanity. But a $150 a month client, whoo, that's a win. All right, thanks for clearing me up, James. I appreciate that. All right, last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice today that will improve their business and or their lives?
get more specific in the people that you target, because like you said, you can definitely tailor a message that's specific to that person, and all the stuff ties together. So if I tell you that my biggest mistake was not understanding my customer acquisition cost, if you have a general message, and then you take it to a very specific tailored message, and you do the same marketing funnel and the same marketing medium, if you keep it specific and way more specific than what you're already doing, all of a sudden, as if by magic, your customer acquisition cost decreases. So I would definitely, like you always say, get very specific, pick a group, know everything about that group, know their pain. I mean, it's simple stuff, but a lot of people don't do it. That's the one piece of advice I would give, is to pick a group, you know them inside and out, treat them with care. They're great people. They need the cleaning. They know they do. And believe that you're the right person for the job, because you are, if you do it right.
That's a quick masterclass on marketing by James Pollard, done quite well. James, I really appreciate your perspective, your question, your ability to share, and all the good things that you've created in your business. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out James' show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.